Sharpen your pencil and grab a piece of paper. It's time for Maine Calling's What to Read This Summer show. Where do you read in the summertime? Maybe it's at the beach or on a boat. Perhaps you prefer lounging in a hammock in the backyard. Sounds nice, doesn't it? Just as importantly, what will you read this summer? This year's crop of books by Maine authors is superlative. And there are lots of other novels, biographies, and nonfiction books generating great buzz. The question, how to choose? I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we turn to three people who might be referred to as professional readers for their help. But we won't stop there. We want to hear about the books you've read recently that you just can't wait to tell people about, and which books you thought were overrated. It's the Maine Calling Summer Reading Guide. But first, this news update. From the MPBN studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Summertime and the reading is easy. Our producer, Jonathan Smith, wrote that. Well, at least if you're lucky enough to be headed off somewhere where you can dig into a good read. Whether you prefer memoirs or murder mysteries, books of poems or collections of short stories, maybe classics or comic books, whatever your literary fancy may be, we have lots of recommendations for you today as we talk about what to read this summer. With me in the studio to help us sort out the must-reads from the maybe-not-reads, Heather Davis, who's Executive Director of The Telling Room, Josh Bodwell, Executive Director of the Maine Writers and Publishers Alliance, and Bill Lundgren, writer, blogger, and bookseller at Longfellow Books. Of course, we want to hear from you. Which book or books are you anxiously waiting to read this summer? What have you just read and want to pass on a recommendation? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mpbn.net, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Welcome back, Josh and Bill, and welcome, Heather, to Maine Calling. And Josh, you're on the hot seat because the Maine Literary Awards were just awarded by your organization, and a lot of familiar names on there and a couple new ones.
Yeah, it was an exciting year. It was a big record-breaking number of submissions this year. We had nearly 125 books come in.
How does it work? How do your readers filter through 125 recommendations?
Very slowly. we did one thing. We started opening the awards earlier, so they open in December and then close in February. So it really takes from February 1st up to the awards at the end of May to send all those books out to about two dozen different readers.
One thing that really struck me when I saw the finalists were, how many names I recognized, which made me very happy, but also how many really fine books are coming out of Maine right now.
Yeah, this year in particular, I think the judges were really in the hot seat in the reading because there were books that weren't even finalists this year that maybe 4 years ago could have won. The level
really
was so much higher this year. It was really, really incredible. And I'd say that was across the genres. It's really impressive. It's not just that we have a bunch of great fiction writers in Maine. We have great young adult writers and nonfiction writers.
So drum roll, please. Give us the winners.
All right. So in fiction, it was Roxana Robinson for her novel Sparta. In crime fiction, it was Al LaMonda for his novel Sunrise. Nice little bit of frosting on the cake there was that that book was published by Five Star Publishing, which is a Maine publisher also. In nonfiction, it was Lincoln Payne for The Sea and Civilization. That's just an absolute doorstop of a book that takes the entire context of mankind and the sea between its pages.
Sounds like a great Father's Day present. Too bad
perfect.
That was last Sunday.
It's never too late to celebrate fathers. The John N. Cole Award for Maine-themed nonfiction. That's a great new category, just our third year doing that. That was The New England Gardener's Year by Reeser Manley and Marjorie Peronto. In memoir, it was Peter Korn for Why We Make Things and Why It Matters.
He was a guest on Maine Calling. Terrific and thoughtful, yeah.
Yeah, he's up at the School for Furniture Craftsmanship in Rockport. In poetry, it was Christian Barter for In Someone Else's House. For young adult, it was Maria Padian for Out of Nowhere. Children's, Lynn Plord for You're Wearing That to School. Anthology was Martha White for E.B. White on Dogs. Martha's E.B.'s granddaughter. In speculative fiction, it was Mark Deal for 17. And for Excellence in Publishing, it was this beautiful coffee table book that combined art and poetry, Maine Island Time, by Elizabeth Garber and Michael Weymouth. That whole list is also on our website.
And hopefully will be posted on our Facebook page as well.
Absolutely.
So we'll turn to you, Bill. What are you reading right now? What are you really excited about? What are people talking about in the bookstore?
Well, there's huge buzz around Lily King's new novel, Euphoria. She read at the bookstore last night, and it is an extraordinary novel. As I put it in the introduction, it's her masterpiece until she writes her next book. But it's a fictional account of it sort of takes off on an episode in the life of Margaret Mead. But Lily uses that to really explore the human condition in a beautifully, beautifully enjoyable way.
And Lily's connected to Maine as well, right?
She is. She lives in Yarmouth. Some of the other recent ones that I've read are The Painter by Peter Heller, about an artist who gets involved in some retributive murders. And it's about art. It's about being a painter. And it's lovely, lovely book by Peter Heller. And then I just read Bush Pilot Angler, which is a memoir by Lee Wolfe, who was one of the world's most famous fly fishermen. And he, after World War II, began to take a bush plane up into Newfoundland to set up salmon camps and tried desperately to save the salmon unsuccessfully. But it's a lovely, lovely memoir.
Isn't it interesting how some of the most exciting books, when you hear about them, it might not be a premise that you think you'd be interested in, but a fantastic writer can take you there and make you excited about
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't read much young adult fiction, but I was fortunate enough to get a galley of The Fog of Forgetting, Genevieve Morgan's book that is coming out in the middle of July, and it's fantastic. I mean, to categorize it as YA fiction is almost to do it an injustice, because it's so beautifully written, and it's also the first of a trilogy, so I'm looking forward to the next two.
Well, that's thrilling to hear, because she's a good friend of Maine Calling and has been on the program, so I'm thrilled to hear that you loved her book. Turning to you, Heather, you work with a lot of teenagers, I know. What are teenagers really excited about right now? What are you recommending to them? What do they have to read?
Well, the big teenage book that everyone is excited about is The Fault in Our Stars, which is not new, but because of the movie coming out, there's a renewed interest in it. And so that is the book that everybody has their hands on right now. And then a lot of our students at the Telling Room actually really enjoy reading each other and their peers. And so a lot of times when we start a writing activity with them, we'll have them go back to our archives and read some of our books. So one of the books on my bedside table is our newest anthology, which is Beyond the Picket Fence. And it's 27 stories on the theme of wild that our students published this year. So
great. If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. Josh, you look like you want to jump in.
Well, I got to give a little shout out to Heather in the Telling Room. we also have a Youth Awards category in the Maine Literary Awards, and we had 70 Maine students submit work this year in poetry, fiction, and nonfiction. And the Telling Room fielded a finalist in every single category. In nonfiction, they ran the category. And I think you guys brought home two student awards? Yeah, two.
We brought home two student awards. It's really exciting. And you reminded me that all the submissions are judged blind, so no one knows that these are Telling Room students or, you know, who they are. And so that's really validating. And there were some tears that night as we saw our students accept their awards. It was a really big night for them. It was really big.
I want to get back to Euphoria by Lily King. This arrived on my desk a few weeks ago, and I stuck it in my beautiful pile of books. But got the cover of the New York Times Book Review just a week and a half ago, which is so exciting for a Maine author. What is it about this book? You've read it, Bill.
I have.
Is it about this book that makes it a masterpiece, as you say?
Well, Lily is an incredibly talented writer, and she's at the top of her game with this thing. It's so one of the reviewers said it's jaw-droppingly, heart-stoppingly beautiful, and it is. She's just a major artist in the way that she tells this story. The story is also fascinating and riveting. It's set in the bush of Papua New Guinea, where these three anthropologists sort of come together. And it just explores so many different things: sex, love, politics, colonialism. It's all there. And it's just, you can tell when you look at the back page, she has a list of all the background research that she did. And she just crystallized it into this beautiful story.
I am in the middle of Christina Baker Klein's Orphan Train, which is I will remind our listeners this month's main calling book club selection, and I'm really enjoying it. I know it was one of the finalists for the literary awards. Josh, is this a book that you do you all share my enthusiasm for it? Because it's I don't want to give away too much because next Thursday we're going to talk about it. But do you share my enthusiasm for Orphan Train?
Absolutely. I think there's actually an interesting analogy there between Lily and Christina. So Euphoria is Lily King's fourth book, and I want to say Orphan Train is also Christina's fourth?
Fifth or sixth.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a little bit more for Christina. But Orphan Train has been such a breakout for Christina. And there's been some speculation around – well, around a couple things. One, that it was a paperback original, and also the larger historic context that she placed this fictional world in. And Lily's done that for the first time. I love all of Lily's books and her short stories, which are kind of underappreciated. But for the first time, she's taken she's so good at writing relationships. And she's now taken those relationships and placed it in a different time period, in a more foreign setting. It's not East Coast and WASPy, which more of her books are. I say that lovingly. I say that in a John Cheever sort of way. So I think for both of them, I think that's been a big part of the attraction from the readership.
One of the things that's interesting about that, too, is Lily didn't travel to New Guinea to research the book. And that was something that she thought about a lot as she wrote it. One of the perks of my job is that I get to work with writers who come and work with our students. So I get to sort of see a little glimpse behind the curtain of how they're working. And she actually came to the Telling Room and led a workshop for students about how do you do that? You know, how do you write a setting into a book if you've never been there? And how do you do that research? And how do you make that come alive? So it was really fun to talk to her about that and see our students get to learn also about how to make that happen.
And the ultimate compliment for the Orphan Train for me is my wife has a very, very demanding job. She's an emergency room veterinarian. So when she reads, she wants a good story well told. And since she's finished Orphan Train, every time she wants a new book, she says, find me something like Orphan Train.
And have you been able to do that
for
her?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Well, we're going to go to our first call. Chris in East Machias. Hi, Chris. Go ahead.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I have two books to recommend. The first one I'm reading right now is J. Robert Oppenheimer, Life Inside the Center. It's written by Ray Monk. It's probably the most comprehensive biography of the father of the atomic bomb, but I'm just fascinated because things I didn't know, such as when he was a student at Cambridge, he was so jealous of his tutor, he left an apple on his desk that was laced with cyanide, and that's attempted murder, but the school just swept it under the rug, and I'm only a third of the way through. And the other book I want to recommend is My Struggle, Book 3, by the Norwegian, he's living in Sweden, but he's Norwegian by birth, Carl Ove Nosgaard. And I read the first two volumes, and I'm really looking forward to the third. And he's getting increasing recognition. I'm even calling him the next Proust. I don't know if that's fair, but he definitely is worth looking into. And it's essentially a story of his life told in novel form.
So a biography and a novel. And Josh, you were nodding at the second recommendation.
Yeah, that book is just everywhere right now. And obviously I think part of it in America is partially the title, which is a play on Mein Kampf, obviously, My Struggle. But it's interesting to see nonfiction on the rise more and more right now. On my table for this summer is Leslie Jamison's The Empathy Exams, which is a collection of essays from a small independent press in the Midwest. But she just signed a 2-book, 7-figure deal this week, because that's blown up so much. A series of essays about empathy.
You know, we've talked on this program about how memoirs are really very much in style right now, but it sounds also as though from the awards, the main literary awards and the books that are getting buzz, that historical fiction, which never really goes out of style, but there's sort of a resurgence in interest. Would you agree, Bill?
I would, yes, definitely. And what's interesting about it is the different ways that you can approach it. Christina's book, Orphan Train, is much more a straightforward historical fiction. And then Kate Manning's book, A Notorious Woman, I think, is also based on the Orphan Train phenomenon. But Lily's book is she just uses it as a jumping off point. So there's a lot of different ways to sort of work around it and work with it.
Right. And Roxana Robinson's book, Sparta, takes on not historical, but modern. It's about PTSD and about a returning veteran. So thanks so much, Chris, for joining the conversation. We hope others will call with their recommendations for summer reading. We've talked about novels. We've talked about a few biographies, now a series of essays. Do you all have any thoughts on genres that maybe you don't usually read, but you've been so excited about a book that you've just got to give it a shout out?
I do. I'm really not that interested in sci-fi or fantasy fiction personally, or sort of anything that's post-apocalyptic. That just doesn't speak to me. But there's a new book by Eden Lepucky, who's a writer for The Millions, which is a literary website, called California. And it's sort of a fantasy fiction post-apocalyptic book. And it was at the heart of the Amazon and Hachette controversy that sort of blew up on the Colbert Report and was the book that was responsible for crashing Powell's website in Oregon, because Colbert held up the book and said, this is something that you should read. Sherman Alexie has recommended this. And, you know, thousands of people went to their website to order this book, California. So I'm very interested in checking that out. It's on my summer list.
So repeat the name of the author, California, by?
Eden Lepucky.
Okay.
And it's her first novel. She published a novella several years ago called If You're Not Yet Like Me, and sort of explored some themes of motherhood. And this book does that as well.
Okay. So. Bill, any thoughts?
A book that I would recommend is House in the Sky by Sarah Corbett and Amanda Lindstrom, that just came out in paperback. One of the most powerful collaborations I've ever read in my life, about a young woman who is imprisoned in Somalia and spends 15 months in captivity. And after she's released, does this incredible humanitarian work to help Somali women out. Beautiful, beautiful book. And what's interesting about it is the collaboration. Sarah is a local writer, and I think we should point out that when we say local writer, it's in no way disparaging, because the community of writers here is so extraordinary. But that is a book that just came out in paperback, and it would be a great beach book, although it's rather heavy.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more of your comments and questions and recommendations. Stay with us. This is Maine Calling.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do The Clean Bedroom, helping create eco-friendly sleep environments at 2 Portland Square in Portland and in Kittery at Dan's Crossing, thecleanbedroom.com. Casella, converting landfill gas to electricity, committed to providing clean, renewable energy for Mainers. Casella, giving resources new life. And Highland Green, a 55-plus active adult community on a 635-acre campus with Nature Preserve. HighlandGreenLifestyle.com.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, President Obama sends nearly 300 troops to boost security at the American Embassy in Baghdad. Al-Qaeda-inspired insurgents continue to expand areas of control, the crisis in Iraq, and the possibility of U.S.-Iranian cooperation.
The Diane Rehm Show is coming up this afternoon at 2 o'clock here on MPBN Radio. News.mpbn.net is up and running. All the news you need from MPBN and NPR, a clean new look, and a great mobile experience. If you haven't yet visited our new page, please do. It's the online resource that provides you with in-depth coverage of the most important stories taking place in Maine and beyond, from a source you know and trust, your public radio station. News.mpbn.net or mpbn/news. Easy to explore, mobile friendly. Your go-to source for compelling stories and reporting, news and information each and every day, whenever and wherever you want.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, clean off your nightstand and get ready to add a whole new stack of books. We're talking about what to read this summer. In the studio with me, Josh Bodwell, Executive Director of the Maine Writers and Publishers Alliance, writer, blogger, and Longfellow bookseller Bill Lundgren, and Heather Davis, Executive Director of The Telling Room. We invite you to join our conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. You can email talk@mpbn.net. You can send a tweet to @MaineCalling, or you can post to our Facebook page. You know, we should have kept the mics live during the break. These guys were buzzing with news of Maine books and Maine, fantastic Maine authors. We'll, though, go to Greg in Arundel. Hi, Greg. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. I was just wondering if you could comment on a recent phenomenon among teenagers called Homestuck, a webcomic by Andrew Hussey. It seems to be very popular among youth, and I don't hear a lot of adults talking about it.
I can't say anything about it because I've never heard of it.
Same here. It's new to me.
It's very popular among young teenagers right now, especially kind of the what I would, in my generation, would have been called a Star Trek nerd. might be worth looking up. NPR has commented on it briefly in the past, but I haven't heard a whole lot about it then and its impact.
Okay, well, Greg, thanks for calling with that recommendation. We're going to ask you and everybody else who calls with a recommendation to go on our Facebook page and add that to a list. We'll ask our guests to do that. We know that some of you are listening with pen and paper, but some are probably driving. So we're going to use Facebook as our resource for today's program. And if you would go to the MPBN Main Calling Facebook page, you don't have to be a member of Facebook to get there. You can put your recommendation. So thanks so much for calling, Greg. We have some Facebook posts. Tanya says, I want to read Atlas Shrugged. And, of course, talking about Ayn Rand's novel, is it 50 now? And we have guests pointing at each other. I remember reading this in high school and at first loving it and now actually having some problems with it. How do you all feel about Atlas Shrugged? You work with teenagers. I'm sure you're discussing this with them.
I mean, I think that Atlas Shrugged is something that you should read. I think that in order to understand the contemporary literary landscape and to understand contemporary politics, it's important to understand Ayn Rand and what she wrote about and what she thought. So just for sort of knowledge's sake alone, I do recommend it, although it's hard to get behind her political leanings. It's very hard to do that. So in that sense, it's a little harder to recommend the book.
Another Facebook post from Holly. She's looking forward to reading 100 Years of Solitude, one of my favorite books ever. What about you guys?
That is my favorite book ever. I wrote a review shortly after he died talking about how important that book had been to me. I read it as a young man, and I've reread it a number of times. I used to teach it in AP English, and it is the masterpiece, I think, that's been written in my lifetime.
You know, it's the first book I ever read that had what is the expression? What is the genre that they use?
Magical realism.
Magical realism. And it blew my mind.
A term that Garcia Marquez hated.
Oh, really? Yeah. Really? Yeah. But really, the first novel I ever read in which reality and imagined reality or ghosts and spirits intertwined. And boy. What a novel. Okay, this is from Amy on Facebook. I recently read Alastair McLeod's No Great Mischief, and now on to Island, his collected stories, all wonderful so far, and she wants to thank Josh for great recommendations. So these are from you, Josh?
Yeah, I'm sort of a preacher for Alastair McLeod. He just passed away about 2 months ago and is not nearly as well known in America as he is in Canada. He's a Cape Breton writer, and hence Island is about Cape Breton Island, all of his short stories. And then his single novel, No Great Mischief, which follows a Scottish family through about half a dozen generations.
Okay. Going to Nicole in Damariscotta. Hi, Nicole.
Hi. How are you?
I'm great.
Good. Hi, Josh. Hi, Heather. It's Nicole from the Maine Coast Bookshop.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
Hello.
What are people talking about up there in your bookshop?
Well, I wanted to mention, first of all, that the book House in the Sky by Amanda Lindhood and Sarah Corbett is the book that the gentleman who called before was talking about, the Somalian kidnapping, and it is one of the most powerful books I have ever read, definitely not light reading at all. And we have the two authors coming to Damariscotta to speak on next Thursday, the 25th, at Porter Hall from 7 to 9 p.m., if people are wanting to meet them and listen to Amanda tell her story with Sarah. It's amazing. I also wanted to mention the magical realism you were just talking about and recommend Neil Gaiman's Ocean at the End of the Lane. That is a beautiful book that is appropriate for all ages. He meant it as a children's book, but it was so effective as a book for an older person who is in still wanting to be in touch with her childhood memories. It's beautiful. And I guess the other book I wanted to recommend was Peter Korn's Why We Make Things and Why It Matters, The Education of a Craftsman. And he is the founder and director of the, what is it called, the Furniture Craftsman place in Rockport. And the book is about creativity and what the meaning of it is in this digital world that we live in. And it's a beautifully written book.
I'm going to agree with you there. I've read it
Thank
as
you.
Well. Nicole, will you do us a favor and go on to our Facebook page and post your recommendations?
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for calling.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. Going to Bill in Chesterville. Hi, Bill. Bill, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can, loud and clear.
Okay. I just wanted to recommend a new book of poetry by a local poet. It's his first book. He's, I think, about 70, 72 years old, and the book is called Boulders, Birch, and Wood Smoke. A Main Melody by Stephen Copperthwaite. These are all poems that are set in the state of Maine. The first section of the book is In the Woods by the Lake. And the second number of poems by memorable people that he remembered growing up in Reedfield, 70 years ago. Some of the folks and their ways in that area. I highly recommend it.
Bill, thanks for the recommendation. I'm going to ask you what I've asked everybody to go on our Facebook page and write that down. Any of you read this? Anybody familiar with it? No, none of our guests are. Well, thank you so much for the recommendation. Sounds like a great book to read while lying in a hammock by a lake. A great book of poems to read. Thank you so much. Going to Leslie in Sedgwick. Hi, Leslie. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Leslie Anderson, and I am one of 11 authors of a book called Summer Stories. This should be familiar to Josh.
Hi, Leslie.
Hi, Josh. It's a collaboration between the Maine Writers and Publishers Alliance and a small art publisher in Brunswick called Shanti Arts Publishing. And I'm a painter. I did a series of paintings of people engaged in summerish activities in the landscape. And the contest proposition was to challenge writers to write short stories based on the paintings. So the book came out in November, and we're in the middle of the book tour, and we're having a ball.
Well, that's terrific, and I'm going to ask you what I've asked everybody else to put that on our Facebook page. And thank you so much for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Josh, is there anything you'd like to add to Leslie's call?
Yeah, just that. So when Leslie approached us with this idea, it was really appealing, especially given recent hits like Girl with a Pearl Earring. And then Edward Hopper is another famous painter that writers have been inspired by forever. So that was the idea, that writers find the narrative within the visual. It was a really fun project. We had a lot of great entries.
The phone number, 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. You can tweet at Maine Calling, send an email to talk@mpbn.net, or post to our Facebook page. We've predominantly talked about newer books. What are some books that you might like to pull out of the past and reread, or what's some book that's long forgotten that deserves a fresh look?
I would mention Everything Matters by Ron Curry Jr. It's one of my favorite books that I have ever read, and I continue to reread it every year.
Every year, Everything Matters by Ron Curry Jr. I've never heard of it.
It's fiction, and he wrote it, I guess, probably 5 years ago or so. And it is, I don't lightly use the word masterpiece again. He just captures sort of the zeitgeist of the times, and it's kind of hard to characterize, but I just encourage everybody to go read it. And then also, I would say anything by Kate Christensen. She's one of my absolute favorite writers. Her fiction is extraordinary, and she just wrote a memoir, Blue Plate Special, that has been doing really well. But
what's the number one book right now in Longfellow? I know you always keep on the wall.
The number one, let's see, last week it was Lily's book. I can't remember what was number one when I was there last night, but it will be Lily's book again next week after the reading we had last night. But I'm always amazed at what a literate community we live in, because I go and look at that wall of bestsellers, and it's extraordinary. There's just no schlock on it. It's all really quality stuff. You know, people come into the bookstore and off the ferry ships and the tourist boats, and they ask, well, where's your Danielle Steele? And I have to tell them, we really, unless we have it used, we really don't have it. And they're horrified because they're, what kind of bookstore are you? I say, well, that's really not the kind of books that people, that our customers look for.
Interesting. Heather, yeah. What about you? What are you pulling, what are you reading that maybe wasn't published yesterday or even last year?
Yeah, so I'm going back, way back, and reading The Sea Around Us by Rachel Carson, which is a great beach book for obvious reasons. But next year, the Telling Room's next anthology project is based on the theme of water. And so we're kind of tentatively calling the project Right by the Sea. So all of us are looking for ways to sort of immerse ourselves in thinking about water and the ocean. And so I picked up this great little used set of Rachel Carson books that has The Edge of the Sea and The Sea Around Us and one of her other books, you know, and I'm fascinated by scientific writing. It's not something that I do a lot or that I get to read a lot. So it's nice in that regard as well.
And of course, the terrific science writer is Hannah Holmes, who lives right here in Maine as well. What about you, Josh? Who are you? Where are you going into the past? What are you pulling off of bookshelves, musty bookshelves?
Well, I'll give mine, but I'll also say, just to echo Bill a little bit on the Maine theme, we talked a lot about Lily. I think when Lily has a book, Euphoria, like Euphoria, I hope it sends people into her back catalog and they read The Pleasing Hour and The English Teacher and Father of the Rain. Her first books are phenomenal. And Monica Wood's When We Were the Kennedys was such a smash for her, but I hope it sends people back to read Ernie Zark and Any Bitter Thing. Because, I mean, this is how we should read writers. When we discover them, go through their whole catalog. Read writers, not just books. So my big discovery of the year so far has been a book from 1958 called Mrs. Bridge by Evan S. Cannell. It got some attention in the 90s with the Merchant and Ivory film, Mr. and Mrs. Bridge. And it was actually two books that they merged for the film, Mrs. Bridge and Mr. Bridge. In 1958 was the year John Updike and Philip Roth hit the scene with their work. And Evan S. Cannell sort of slipped off the radar. And it's a gorgeous book of American realism set in the Midwest before World War I. Just spectacular.
Great. Amanda in Bangor, what are you reading?
Well, I just got done reading the book Dr. Sleep by Stephen King.
And
it was, I just wanted to say that it was one of the best books that he's had out in a while. I've read almost all of his books he has out, except the Dark Tower series. And it was just, it reminded me of some of his older books and how it captivated me. Such as my favorite book by him is Salem's Lot, which is one of his older books. And it was just a really great read. And Stephen King, just my favorite author. So,
all right. And we have a note from our producer that it's the sequel to The Shining.
Yes, yes. I actually didn't know that going into it. I just picked it up because I saw it. I didn't even know he was coming out with a new book. And I picked it up and I started reading and I was like, oh gosh, this is awfully... they're making a lot of references to The Shining, and it was just a really I really liked how they connected it, and it was just really more horrific. I find sometimes he dabbles in weird / sci-fi, and it was just more back to kind of his roots of normal horror, which is
I was going to ask you. Where does it rank from 1 to 10 on the scariness scale?
I would say it's probably only a 7. I was able to like put it down and go to sleep with some of his some of his other books. I've had to finish it, you know, as I like in one night, because they just kept me up at night because they were so so gripping. But I think it takes someone special to really thoroughly enjoy horror to that level in his books.
Well, Amanda, thanks so much for calling in. We are going to take another short break. When we return, more of your comments, questions, recommendations, and criticism. Please stay with us.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Highland Green, a 55-plus active adult community on a 635-acre campus with Nature Preserve. HighlandGreenLifestyle.com. Silly's in Portland's East End, open at 11 Tuesday through Friday and at 9 for brunch on the weekends, with vegan and gluten-free options. Silly's.com. And Revision Energy, a local business specializing in the design, installation, and service of solar energy systems. RevisionEnergy.com.
Hello, I'm Linda Hunt. Next time on City Arts and Lectures, we broadcast a conversation on extreme weather and the science of superstorms. Our guest, Heidi Cullen, is Chief Climatologist for Climate Central. Join me next time for a conversation with Heidi Cullen on City Arts and Lectures on this public radio station.
That's coming up tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock right here on MPBN Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, books to consider adding to your summer reading list. In the studio with me, Bill Lundgren. He's a writer, blogger, and bookseller at Longfellow Books. Heather Davis, Executive Director of The Telling Room, and Josh Bodwell, Executive Director of the Maine Writers and Publishers Alliance. We invite you to join the conversation. Give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. From Facebook, Elaine says, heard your recommendation for the E.B. White book, which I'm looking forward to reading. Two more great books for dog lovers are Mary Oliver's Dog Song, Short Eloquent Poems, and Provincetown poet Mark, I think it's Doty's memoir, Dog Years, beautifully evokes the comfort of his dog's companionship while dealing with the terminal illness of his lover. And I'm so glad she recommended Mary Oliver because, I'm not sure that I could live without Mary Oliver's poems, so I'm so glad, Elaine, that you mentioned that poetry.
Poetry, what? Yeah. I gotta beat the drum for poetry a little bit because we have both Betsy Scholl, our most recent poet laureate, and her brand new collection, Otherwise Unseen, is just out, and Wes McNair, our current poet laureate, has a new book at the end of the month called The Lost Child. Which is a bit of a departure for Wes, who's known for his New England royalism. But he's tapped into this vein of his mother's side of the family in the Ozarks in this collection of poems. And
wow,
it's amazing.
Going to Ava in York. Hi, Ava. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. I wanted to recommend a series and the newest, latest one out by Janet Ivanovich. And I believe it's called Takedown 21, but it's the next in the series of Stephanie Plum novels. It's pretty light reading, which is always great, as I live, around the corner from the beach, and most people can see me laughing out loud with these things. So it's not real deep reading, but rather fun. And she hails from New Hampshire up by Dartmouth, so she's a local New Englander. I don't know if your panel is familiar. She's a lot of times on the bestsellers, but again, light mystery kind of genre.
Great, Ava. I'm glad you called. If you don't mind, put that recommendation on our Facebook page. But also, let's talk about light reading. You know, that's what summer's for, right? What are some books that you're just going to race through? We've talked a lot about some really finely written literary novels. But if you just want to have something that you can sit on the beach and polish off in a couple days, any thoughts there?
Mm-hmm. I have The Love Affairs of Nathaniel P. by Adele Waldman on my list for this summer, and it has just enough of a kind of smart edge that you get a little bit of intellectual gratification. But it's about this guy who, comes of age and finds literary success in Brooklyn in his 30s, but does not find romantic success. And so the novel follows him through this series of relationships and trying to understand, why am I not good at this, or what's behind romantic compatibility. And so it's a juicy enough and plot-driven enough that I think you could just sail through that.
Okay, great. And I haven't read one in years, but I went on a Carl Hyacin kick a few years ago one summer and did what you do, Ava, where I would find myself laughing out loud and then wondering who was looking at me. What about you, Bill? Any thoughts?
I would mention Paul Durand's trilogy about a Maine game warden. It's literate, but it's really fun. You could call it light reading. Where'd You Go, Bernadette is another one. Hilariously funny. There's some substance to it, but it's a great book to take to the beach. It's and I just read Driving Mr. Albert by Michael Paterniti, who's another author who lives in Portland. Fantastic sort of travelogue, memoir, love story is fantastic.
Great. And Josh? Any race through them books?
I echo those two, first of all. Phenomenal. but I'll go back a year or two to Jess Walter's Beautiful Ruins, which is both You Can't Put It Down, and it's just got such a big beating heart in it. It's a beautiful, beautiful book.
Great. Ava, thanks for calling. going to Dawn on Deer Isle. Hi, Dawn.
Hi, it's Deer Island. I'm not in Maine. I'm on the other side, like I said, looking over to Eastport.
Oh, really? Wow. Well, thanks for calling from Canada.
Okay. And I wanted to recommend a book. It's an old, old one. Both of my recommendations are old, and one of them I don't even have the author. But I hadn't heard much mention of garden diaries and garden reading, and some of us, especially maybe in the slightly older generation, read a lot of those in the summer. And Onward and Upward in the Garden is a classic by Catherine S. White. The introduction is by her husband, E.B. White. That may ring more bells with you.
Well, and Catherine was a longtime editor at the New Yorker, right?
Taken from her New Yorker pieces. It was a collection of the things she wrote for the New Yorker that was put together after her death, and it's a really beautiful book.
Oh, terrific. And you said you had another one?
Yes, but I can't remember the author. It's another oldie, too. It's called We Went to the Woods.
All right.
If I remember correctly, it's by a woman and who lived with her husband in northern Maine way back in the 40s, 50s. A lot of it's about the old-time lumbering. It's a really interesting story.
Does Louise Dickinson sound right? That's what Bill's saying. Yeah, great.
Louise Dickinson Rich. That's
great. Well, thanks for calling, Don. Headed to James in South Gardner. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to recommend a book by my brother, actually, who lives in Brunswick. It's an historical fiction called Beyond, and it's the story of the first of the Papuan colony here locally. It's a really terrific read. It's historical fiction located both in England and here in Maine, and it's gotten several awards. And while I am prejudiced, I really put it out there as a terrific read, especially for the summer. It just came out this year.
Terrific, James. And if you don't mind adding that to the MPBN Maine Calling Facebook page, that'd be terrific. Thank you.
I have done that, yeah.
Oh, terrific. Great. And we have an email from somebody, Deej, who says, I've got to reread Five Smooth Stones. Is that a book you all are familiar with?
I have not read it. I'm familiar with it. But
Okay. We've got Dale in Damariscotta. Hi, Dale. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Dale Dapkins, and I am the father of social science fiction. I have a new book out called Blue Moon. And
Dale, what is social science fiction?
I knew you were going to ask that. It's not just dinner parties on spaceships. It more takes place in our brains than anything else. We kind of have up in our brains everyone we ever knew, along with our parents, passing judgment on us and causing us to do the things that we do. And I deal with this in short stories and in science fiction in a humorous way. I am, by the way, the only person to ever win the Laurien Hemingway short story competition 2 years in a row. That's a blind read, and I was mentioned by Leanne Hansen, Morning Edition, several years ago for that.
Well, thanks so much for calling, and I know that you've put some information on our Facebook page, so I won't ask you to do that, Dale. Thanks so much for calling in, and good luck to you. Going to Abby in New Hampshire. Hi, Abby. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm calling to recommend Of Sea and Cloud by John Keller, who lives on the Down East Coast in Maine. And the novel is a haunting novel, just a really sort of dark and poetic novel set on the coast. And John himself fishes clams and lobsters there. And the book is about a lobstering community, a really traditional lobstering community, and the ways that globalization threatens the fishing community and also the individual people there.
Okay, great.
The book will be released on June 30th.
And Abby, have you heard me ask people to put the recommendation on our Facebook page? If you would add that, that'd be terrific.
Sure.
We suspect some people are listening in their cars and can't be taking notes. So thanks so much. Going to Mary, calling from Washington. Hi, Mary.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I have a book I would highly recommend for anyone. It's called August Gale, and it's by Barbara Walsh. She's a Maine writer. It's not a particularly new book, but it's not terribly old. And it covers the story, the true story, of the Newfoundland hurricane back in 1935. and how it involved her entire family to her present-day father. This involved her grandparents and all. And it's a marvelous read because she seamlessly moves from 1935 to the present and back again, and how the events during that time affects the family today.
Well, Mary, I'm going to give away a little secret here. August Gale's going to be our August selection for Maine Calling Book Club, so I'm
wonderful.
So glad.
You couldn't have picked a better book. I just love that book. I could not put it down. It's just if I had one book to keep going back to, that would be the one.
Well, that's great to hear. And Josh and Bill, you were both nodding during Mary's call.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful book. A lot of it is sort of a memoir about her father. She's a very accomplished journalist, and I think this is her first foray into sort of narrative nonfiction. And it's a gorgeous book.
All right. Thanks so much for calling in. Going to Margaret in Lexington Plantation. Hi, Margaret.
Hi.
Do you have a recommendation?
Yes, I have a book that I'd like to recommend. It's one of my all-time favorites. It's The Islanders by Elizabeth Foster, and it's about it's a good story, if you like, a picture of a different time in history. It's back in, I think, maybe the 1850s to the 1900s, and it's a story about a beautiful part of Maine, Rangeley, and it's just a delightful picture into a different period of time and some very, very fascinating people.
So The Islanders by Elizabeth Foster.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks so much for calling. Going to Wendy and Stu Ben.
Hi. This is Wendy. I reread every single spring Prodigal Summer by Barbara Kingsolver.
And
it's just a really wonderful book for this time of year. And it talks a lot about why we shouldn't be killing off predators. And she tends to get kind of preachy in some of her later books, but this was just a really nice story.
Great. Well, Wendy, thank you for calling with the recommendation. We have from Twitter, Jenny Lawson's Let's Pretend This Never Happened, a fun and funny read. We were talking about funny books earlier. So there's a recommendation, Jenny Lawson's Let's Pretend This Never Happened. Headed to Peter in Rockport. Hi, Peter. Go ahead.
Hi. I wanted to recommend one of my favorite books. It's a book called Islandia by Austin Tappan Wright. And it's kind of a utopian book about a continent that doesn't really exist, where people don't really treat each other as nastily as people often do.
Okay.
And then also to mention that the Rockport and Camden libraries are both having huge book sales coming up in the middle of July. Rockport starts on the 17th and goes through the 20th, and Camden, I think, starts on the 18th and goes through the 20th.
Great. Well, you're going to be the last word today on this wonderful Maine Calling that reminds us that there are so many books and so little time. Heather, Josh, and Bill, thank you all for joining us today. Heather Davis, Executive Director of The Telling Room, Josh Bodwell, Executive Director of the Maine Writers and Publishers Alliance, and Bill Lundgren, a writer, blogger, and also a bookseller at Longfellow Books in Portland. Today's program was produced by our intern, Charlotte Ruddy, and by Jonathan Smith. Sam Moran answered your calls, and Nikki Shields ran the board. Tomorrow on the program, join host Keith Shortall for an update on the situation in Iraq. And don't forget, a week from this Thursday is the next installment of the Maine Calling Book Club. Be sure and read Orphan Train by Christina Baker Klein. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on MPBN.